It's frequently claimed by Christian missionaries that we have no hadith collections that go back to the first century Hijra. That's about 100 years after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. And I've noticed increasingly some Muslims saying this as well, particularly so-called Quranists who say, well, the collections we have are centuries, two, three, four centuries after Muhammad. They're not reliable. We don't have anything going back to the beginning. Now, this is interesting. I wanted to talk about what the scholars actually say about this claim. And I was just rereading, by coincidence, this book by Jonathan Brown, who's an American academic, Hadith: Muhammad's Legacy in the Medieval and Modern World, the second edition. He's a specialist in Hadith. And he makes a very interesting point, almost in passing, which I just wanted to share with you. So before we come to the issue of this missionary claim, I just want to read to you a little bit of background, early hadith collection and writing. And on page 19, I do recommend this book, by the way. It's recommended by some top scholars, for example, Christopher Melchett, who's professor of Arabic and Islamic studies at the University of Oxford. He says about this, far surpasses all previous introductory surveys. It is especially distinguished by its attention to hadith scholarship throughout the Middle Ages, not just the age of the great collectors. So, what does Professor Jonathan Brown have to say on page 19? He writes, from the beginning of Islam, Muhammad's words and deeds were of the utmost interest to his followers. He was the unquestioned exemplar of faith and piety in Islam and the bridge between God and the temporal world. Although, as we shall see, there was controversy over setting down the Prophet's daily teachings in writing, it is not surprising that those companions who knew how to write tried to record the memorable statements or actions of their Prophet. As paper was unknown in the Middle East at the time, it was introduced from China in the late 700s. It's interesting, they didn't have paper in the earliest years. The small notebooks they compiled, called sahifa, sahifa is an Arabic word, and if you make it plural in English, you add an S, as Jonathan Brown does. So it writes sahifas. These small notebooks would have consisted of papyrus, parchment, scraped, limed, and stretched animal skins, which were both very expensive, or cruder substances such as palm fronds. Although there is some evidence that the Prophet ordered the collection of his rulings on taxation, these sahifas were not public documents. They were the private notes of individual companions. Companions were people who had seen and met with the Prophet and were his followers during their lifetimes. Some of the companions recorded as having sahifas were people like Abu Huraira, which we'll come to in a second. He's key to this story for this video. Certain companions were more active in amassing, memorizing, and writing down hadiths than others. Like grandchildren eager to collect stories and recollections about a grandparent they barely knew, we find that it is often the most junior companions of the Prophet who became the most prolific authors, prolific collectors and transmitters of hadiths. Abu Huraira, who died in 678 AD, who knew the Prophet for only 3 years, is the largest single source for hadiths, with approximately 5,300 narrations in later hadith collections. It's a huge number. Although he did not write hadiths down in his early career, by his death, Abu Huraira had boxes full of the sahifas he had compiled. He had boxes full of these textbooks, these notes that he had made over the years, and that they were obviously passed on. Since companions like Ibn Abbas and Abu Huraira only knew the Prophet for a short time, it's interesting, Brown says that Abu Huraira knew the Prophet for only 3 years, as if that's a short time. For me, 3 years is actually a very long time. You can get to know a lot about someone in 3 years if you're attentively devoting yourself to their life and work. But anyway, He writes, since companions like Abu Huraira only knew the Prophet for a short time, they apparently amassed their vast numbers of hadith by seeking them out from more senior companions. Abu Huraira is thus rarely recorded as saying, I heard the Prophet of God say. More often, he simply states indirectly that the Prophet said, dot, dot, dot. Just as today we regularly quote people who we did not hear directly, this would have been normal for the companions. The obsession with specifying direct oral transmission with no intermediary, which characterized later hadith scholarship, did not exist during the first generations of Islam. Ibn Abbas probably heard only 40 hadiths directly from the Prophet. The rest he frequently narrates by saying, the Prophet of God said, or through a chain of transmission of one, two, or even three older companions. So dominant is the presence of Muhammad in the formative period of Islam that we forget that after his death, it was his companions who assumed complete religious and political leadership in the community. It was companions like Ibn Abbas in Mecca and Ibn Mas'ud in Kufa who had the responsibility of teaching new generations of Muslims and new converts about the religion of a prophet they had never known. The generation who learned Islam from the companions and in turn inherited from them the mantle of the Prophet's authority became known as the successors. Now, this is a really important concept, the successors. In Arabic, it's al-tabi'un. Like the companions, i.e. people had actually known and spent time with the Prophet, they too recorded those recollections that their teachers recounted to them about the Prophet's words, deeds, and rulings. In addition to compiling their own sahifas from the lessons of the companions, these successors also passed on the companions' own sahifas. So they also passed on the work of their teachers who had actually known Muhammad, plus their own detailed notes. And now we come to the point of this video. Remember, initially I said, Christian missionaries and even some Muslims now are saying we don't have any collections that go back to the time of the Prophet. Frequently I hear this. Brown continues. Some of the early isnads that appear most frequently in hadith collections seem to be a record of sahifas being handed down from teacher to student, from father to son. We thus often find the sahifa isnad of Abu Huraira to Abd al-Rahman to his son al-Allah. An example of a sahifa that has survived intact today is the sahifa of the successor, Haman bin Munabi, who died in 747. And this contains 138 hadiths from the Prophet via Abu Huraira. And that's the end of the quote from this book. So let me just repeat that final sentence, which is the point really of this video. An example of a sahifa, these are notes, if you like, taken directly from a companion who knew the Prophet, that has survived intact today, the sahifa of the successor Haman bin Muhabbin, who died 747. This consists, has 138 hadiths from the Prophet via Abu Huraira. Now, these hadiths ended up in later collections. We know because they're quoted in, for example, Bukhari, quoted in Muslim, quoted in other very esteemed collections. But the point here that Jonathan Brown makes is that this sahifa has survived intact today. We have it today. And indeed, it was discovered in the 20th century. We actually discovered. Now, before then, I'm told, and I asked a scholar about this literally about half an hour ago, who I know, he said that in the Hanafi school, which is his own particular madhab, these hadiths were transmitted orally until, well, they've always been transmitted orally. So you have an isnad. So, you know, you transmit it from so-and-so to so-and-so orally. And the written basis for this was long lost, it was thought. But actually it was discovered again. The text was discovered again in the 20th century. And a comparison shows between the text and the oral transmission is that they are the same. So the oral transmission has been maintained with fidelity and accuracy over many, many generations and centuries. And now we have the text itself. And as Jonathan Brown says itself, the Sahifa has survived intact today. It contains 138 hadiths, and these were hadiths that were used, as I've already said, by the famous hadith collectors Bukhari and Muslim and others a couple of centuries later. So we do have hadiths, many hadiths, that go back to the time of the companions, both through oral transmission and textually, and this is very well established. Other hadith collections, which are very early, by the way, is this one, the Al-Muwatta, of Imam Malik ibn Anas, and this is dated to the mid second century Hijra. So this is very, very early. This contains hadith, also contains many other rulings and practices and customs of the people of Medina, the city of Medina in Arabia, where the Prophet lived and died in the second part of his life. So that's another very, very early collection. But we have hadiths that go back to they survive intact. We can trace them directly back to the time of the companions, and in this case, Abu Huraira. So when Christian missionaries claim, and they very frequently do, that we have no hadith collections that go back to the time of the Prophet or his companions, it's not true. We do, according to the scholars, not only orally, but textually, has been rediscovered. And I'm told that there are many other examples of traditions and hadiths that were orally passed on for centuries via this isnad process, where the texts have been recently rediscovered and they've been published now. So that there's a wealth of literary corroboration for the Islamic tradition that is now being rediscovered in the Middle East and has been published, and not just discovered there, but discovered in America and in Germany in these collections of manuscripts, and they're now being translated and published into English. And there's been a big, a lot of these have been published recently, I am told, by a scholar. So there we are. That's very exciting news. So the skepticism that even some Muslims share now about the hadith collections would appear to be unfounded, according to good Western scholarship, as well as the textual evidence now. And that, I think, is very, very interesting. Till next time.